Hey, hey, now welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. And we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you.
Hi, I am MC Light. I have over the years just done just about everything. I've been a rapper, an actor, a voiceover talent, a producer, and I've made multiple streams of income for decades now. But it wasn't until I met Lynn Richardson that I learned how to take my itty bitty business to a booming empire. I'm sitting here with my sister, Dr. Lynn Richardson, right now. Hi.
Hello, hello.
It is so good to see you. I know that I have been a part of your journey with your unyielding message of people getting their business in order. Yeah? So I just wanted to ask, where does your passion come from when you say everybody must have a home-based business?
Whew, oh boy. Oh my goodness. So the passion comes from the truth. And the truth is I failed at everything. Okay, I failed at it all. I was born and raised in Chicago. As a matter of fact, my grandmother was 75 years old, cleaning homes for wealthy people, putting me through college. She taught me everything that grandmamas teach their children. Go to school, get a good education, get a good job, go to church on Sunday, wear clean underwear in case you get hit by a bus. Right? I'm like, why are you so fixated on underwear? And if I get hit by a bus, will they even have on any underwear when they find me? So she taught me all those things, but she didn't teach me about money. My grandmother had an eighth grade education, the wisest woman I've ever known. And I knew that we were not rich, but I didn't feel poor. So if grandma told me, you know, go get some money, if I said I need some money for a field trip, she'd tell me to look in the room on top of the shelf, behind the box, inside my pocketbook, inside a zipper, wrapped up in a piece of paper towel, it's $20.
Right.
Jesus, lady, come on now. How did they hide the money so many times and remember? And so when I got off to college, I didn't know a lot about money. The only thing I knew was I needed some. And I grew up somewhat as a fashionista. I wore Gloria Vanderbilt. I wore Vidal Sassoon. I wore Jordache. I always had nice shoes with a nice book bag to match, you know, all that stuff. So I had to keep that up when I got to college. Now, I was at a prestigious university on full scholarship. So, you know, I didn't have any money. So I decided, you know, there's a big room the first week of college and they got all the credit card people around the room. And I decided, I saw people looking and making decisions. I said, oh, I'm not just going to get one. I'm going to get one of each. Crazy. Right. So, of course, I charged the credit cards and I couldn't pay anybody. When the creditors would call and say, Lynn, can you borrow the money? I'd say, can I borrow it from you? I had all kind of funny, fancy answers. As you can see, I had the gift of gab, but it wasn't so funny. When I graduated, my credit was jacked up. My furniture came from Rent-A-Center. And I just was like, wow, this is my entry into the adult world. Now, I am young, black, so-called educated. And here's the problem. I did not know what to do differently. And I didn't think I needed to change anything. Mm. So there are a lot of people out there right now who are struggling financially, who have financial habits, financial beliefs that they developed as a young child, because of whatever their circumstances were or because of their need to fulfill themselves, and they don't know what to do differently and they don't even think they need to change. Well, that was me. You see, check to check is a blessing. People out there complaining about check to check. Let me tell you, child, you're doing good. That means by the time you get paid on Friday. And by the next Friday, that's when you're running out of money. Or you get paid and 2 weeks later, you start running out of money. You call Big Mom and ask for some gas money. That's one thing. But check to Monday is a whole nother game. You get paid on Friday. You kick it on the weekend. You pay on your past due bills because in your mind, your current bills are not due yet. Can I get an amen from somebody?
Yes. Amen.
Okay. So I spend my life helping people understand more money doesn't solve a money problem. If it did, millionaires wouldn't go bankrupt. If more money could solve a money problem, you'd never have a bankrupt millionaire. You'd never have a bankrupt billionaire. So again, I said, I didn't know what to do differently, and I did not think I needed to change. So for everybody who's struggling with this, my message is, and why I'm so passionate, is change comes from within. You have to make the decision for yourself that you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I started living by the book that I wrote, Living Check to Monday. The first 10% of every dollar you get, you tithe. The next 10% you save, and not just for a rainy day. You save for a come up. This pandemic, the recession of 2008, and every recession before it has taught us that coming out of recession, you will either be a millionaire, a billionaire, or a witness. You get to choose. Now, the last recession, I was a pennier. The next 30% is cash in your pocket. Okay, cash in your pocket. I had to have cash in my pocket. Why? To help you avoid a spending addiction. A spending addiction is what you have when you go to the grocery store for toothpaste and walk out with $179.47 worth of stuff you don't need. Talking about it was on sale. It wasn't on sale for you. Now, the remaining 50% stays in your checking account for your bills. And you have one of two situations. Either you have more than enough money, or you don't have enough money. If you have more than enough money, that's not a license to go buy a bigger house, a bigger car, and more stuff. You see, what happens is every time we get a raise, then we go and raise our expenses. Mm-hmm. So you don't have more freedom. You now have more bondage, more debt, more headaches. So now is the time to pay off your debt. Why? Because there's a middleman between you and your wealth, and it's called interest. And if you are letting someone else make money off of your interest, that means you're not making money off of it, and it means you're working for your creditors. So you want to try to eliminate your debt. You want to treat yourself to a vacation or whatever it is, but here's the deal. If you call yourself going on a vacation, you don't have any money, you're not on vacation. The vacation is on you. That 50%, if you have more than enough money, you want to be strategic about it. If you don't have enough, it's time to subtract. You must disconnect. Subtract what? Subtract whatever it is. Because here's the deal. Money is an exact science. So 1 + 1 = 2. If your stuff adds up to 10, it'll never get into 2. The second reason, Light, why I'm so passionate about this is because we have truly missed the most important ingredient in the money game. So the very first thing I talked about is spending less money. There is no way to be financially free if you keep spending more money than you make. The next thing you have to do is get more money, multiple streams of income. Why? Because one stream of income is hazardous to your wealth. But here's the issue with that. The more money you make, the more the IRS will take.
Give yourself the gift of wealth with no limits. Lynn Richardson and New Wealth University is giving 50% off on the Diamond Wealth Ambassador Program. The Diamond Wealth Ambassador Program will give you lifetime access to all of Lynn Richardson's online classes, books, boot camps, masterclasses, and webinars. That's right, lifetime access. So give yourself the gift of wealth with no limits with 50% off on the Diamond Wealth Ambassador Program. Available only on LynnRichardson.com.
Let's talk about real estate, real estate, real estate.
Hi, I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You've seen me on Good Morning America, The Breakfast Club, and WVON. I'm so excited about sharing with you the Home Buyers Club. It's time for you to get the home of your dreams. No credit, no problem. Low credit, no problem. No down payment, no problem. I am excited about you getting a piece of the American dream. Join the Home Buyers Club today.
We're talking about the virtues of a wealthy lifestyle. MC Light is here with me. I have so much more coming up. What is the action of the day? The action of the day is to get pen and paper and write. Thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through your fingertips. There's a lot that you've heard today. There's a lot that you're going to hear that's going to take you to a whole nother level and elevate you. Okay. But you want to remember what you wrote. You want to see what it is that you heard. And then you want to be able to put it into action. The Bible even says, write the vision and make it plain so that the reader can run with it. So as you listen to these virtues, as you listen to these steps, as you listen to why I'm so passionate, I want you to find your passion. I want you to get your vision. I want you to get your dream, and I want you to get it in writing. That's right. We're going to write. We're going to dream. We're going to journal. And guess what? We're going to grow because the harvest is here and the time is now.
Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time, and that means you.
The more money you make, the more the IRS will take. So if you go from making $75,000 to $150,000, you're not going to see $75,000 divided by 12 on your paycheck. As a matter of fact, I know people who get a raise from $100,000 on their job to $200,000, and they've actually seen less on their check. Because the more money you make, the more tax brackets you enter into. I remember my first check went from $10,000 to $20,000, a pay period. I was looking for this check. Now, let's be clear. I was living check to Monday, so I had already spent the money, okay? I knew the check was coming. So when I got the $10,000 check, my net pay was $8,500. I was married with three children, five exemptions. So I had five allowances on my W-4. I thought that's how it worked. So when I was getting this $20,000 commission, I thought, I'll have $16,000, $17,000. Let me tell you something. I got the check. The check was like $9,000. Let me tell you, I almost passed out right there in the office. I got dizzy. Then I said, child, you can't die because you need your money. I said, you right. So I went into the office and I called the IRS. People said, well, why'd you call the IRS? Because they had my money. Who else you gonna call? I call the HR people. They don't have my money. I'm looking at the check. It says FICA name, so that's who I'm calling. So I called the IRS and I got on the phone. I told them my situation. I didn't even know who to call or what to say. All I know is half my check is gone and I need it back. So they heard my story and they said, oh, we're going to put you on with a withholding agent. I thought, whoo, child, they got somebody named that. Okay, you got a withholding agent. So I was ready. I was already counting the minutes to when I was going to get my money. So the withholding agent came on and she started to ask me all these questions. By like question number 10 or 11, I started to get nervous. She put me on hold, came back, and her calculation was only 2 pennies different than my check. That's when I learned the more money you make, the more the IRS will take. I did not think that when you grow in life, that you make more money and get less. That just didn't seem fair to me. So the first thing is to spend less money. The next thing is, yes, to get more money. Multiple streams of income, a raise on your job, do some extra shifts. But the third ingredient is the single most important ingredient. And that is you have to get your money back. Well, guess what? That's what the IRS says. The IRS says, if you drive your car for business, you can get your money back. If you just go out and drive for personal reasons, you don't. If you have a business dinner or business lunch, you can get your money back. If you take a business trip, you can get your money back. The IRS says this well over hundreds and hundreds of times. So what everybody needs to know about having a home-based business is that you as a sole proprietor doing whatever it is that you're doing, you as a sole proprietor are just as important and you are in the same category as any other business. So think about the big department store that you see on the freeway. Think about where you shop. You are treated in the government's eyesight just like any other business as a sole proprietor. Now, this pandemic has shown us all exactly how the government treats money. There are two systems in America. There's one system for employees. There's another system for businesses. The employee system under the pandemic basically said, wait for your $2,000 stimulus check or your $600 stimulus check, get your unemployment, and go on. Now, first of all, I need some more zeros in my check if you're going to stimulate me. It's not stimulating, right?
Me too.
Right. But guess what they told businesses? Sole proprietors, people with home-based business owners. They said, send us your revenue. We're going to give you a percentage of that so you can keep your businesses going. So I know sole proprietors, independent contractors. I know a hairstylist because she ran her business like a business with the intent of making a profit. When the pandemic hit and everything shut down, she got over $50,000 to keep her business going. Whereas the other hairstylist in the same shop who did not run her business like a business got nothing and had to wait on unemployment. So businesses are the engine of the economy. The IRS says it hundreds of times. And so in my classes, I teach people how to get their money back. I help them identify the tax deductions that they never knew about. As a matter of fact, I wrote a book, Get Your Money Back, Tax Deductions That You Never Knew About.
Right.
Real simple, right? So that's why I'm so passionate about it. The third reason why I'm so passionate about this is because there are no safe jobs. We were taught to go to school, get a good education, get a good job, and then you'd be able to work on that job and retire into the sunset. That doesn't happen anymore. We are no longer an industrial society. We are a service society and a technology society. And so if a business can replace a person with a computer program, software, or a robot even, your job may end. We've seen in recent history where government workers were furloughed. Can you believe that?
Mm.
Like, the whole idea was to get a good government job. Not safe. Teachers, who should be the highest paid of everybody everywhere. God bless the teachers. But they are striking for working conditions and salary and pensions. Teachers' pensions are in danger all over the country. Vaccines, they were not on the essential workers list. So teachers aren't even safe. And since there is no safe job, we must create our own jobs. And so not having safety and security when it comes to being able to provide for ourselves then gives us the energy that we need to escape. We want to go on vacation. But if you don't have any money, you are not on vacation. The vacation is on you.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens? Christmas comes along and we want to escape during Christmas time. So you spend your last dime and next month's rent on Christmas toys, and the children don't play with the toys, and now you irritated, upset. 'Twas the day after Christmas, and all through the house, every creature was hurting, even the mouse. The toys were all broken, their batteries were dead, and Santa was passed out with ice on his head. Whole point is, we try to escape, and the only thing that we can escape to is the brilliance that God has given us to create the power that we need to start our own businesses. So when we start our own businesses, when we start with our own home-based businesses, then not only do we get to make more money, we get to get our money back, and then we've got a little bit of control. The fourth reason why I'm so passionate about everybody having a home-based business is because of what I just said. You want control. I want control. We want control. We don't want to go to sleep worried about how we're going to pay our bills. We don't want to dodge the repo man. We don't want to have to hide our car at our cousin's house in the garage to try to figure out how we're going to. We don't want to do that. We actually want control. But what it feels like when money is scarce, when the ends aren't meeting, when the money is funny and the change is strange, it feels like money is in control. But the truth is, money wants to give you control. Money says, I am dependable. And here's the real deal about money. 1 + 1 = 2. Money is more reliable than anything because it's based on simple mathematics, what we learned in first grade. Money is more reliable than your friends. Money is more reliable than the weather. Money is more reliable than your boo who turned into a who, what, when, where, why, and how. Money is more reliable. Money says, I just need you to respect me. Money says, I need you to let me work the way I was designed to work. Money says, I want to help you multiply. Money says, I will work harder for you than you can ever work for me.
Mm.
That's called investing. That's called creating passive income streams. That's called being wise and making wise decisions. That's called getting an education. That's called surrounding yourself with the people who understand how money works. If you have 5 broke friends, you're going to be number 6. Mm. If you have 9 broke friends, you're going to be number 10. So your network truly determines your net worth. And when we give money the power to do what it does, by honoring it, we get in the driver's seat. We are in control. And now we tell money, go over here in this investment and do that. We tell money, okay, now I want to take a vacation, but it's going to be a business trip. We start to tell money what to do when we understand it. Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you.
Well, 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 you know, we are always here with exciting topics. And if they're not exciting, they're helpful and they will become exciting because as you get knowledge and you put it into action, you then have power. People say knowledge is power. I say knowledge is power when you put it into action. And I can't think of a better person to help us make our knowledge turn into action. I can't think of a better person than Cassandra Betts, community manager with my friends at Chase. Welcome to the roundtable. Welcome back to the roundtable, Cassandra.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lynn. I'm excited to be with you always.
Oh my goodness. Let me tell you. Okay. So I just have to tell everybody what today's topic is supposed to be. And then I have to go on and just confess. This is the whole confessional right here on the Millionaires Roundtable. We're talking about financial fitness for 2023 high school grads. But I must admit, everyone, I am weak because I need financial fitness for 2023 college grads and prior who are still living off their parents 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years after college. Oh my goodness, Cassandra, can you help me? Can you help us with that? I know you're going to give us so much power, but this is good. I think there are so many parents around the world, you know, but certainly in the country who can use your help. So, you know, parents, as your teenager prepares to leave the nest for college, you're probably doing all you can to get them academically and socially prepared. But what are the financial preparation tools you are engaging? Cassandra Betts, community manager for JPMorgan Chase, is here to discuss some of the ways that parents can set their 2023 high school graduate up for financial success in college and beyond. I can't tell you how important this is. I want everybody to call somebody, get pen and paper, and take notes. So, Cassandra, my first question is this. Why is it important for parents to discuss financial health with their teenagers?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Lynn. I would be happy to address that. So first and foremost, when it comes to being financially healthy and the term of financial fitness itself, it's important for everybody, not just our 2023 high school graduates, which, by the way, congratulations to all of you. If you have a graduate that will be graduating, walking across some sort of stage this coming season. But regardless of your age, even if you're 5 years old, you need to know the importance of being financially healthy, but most importantly, especially for our teenagers who are making that transition into adulthood. There's a survey out there conducted by Junior Achievement USA that says only half, just about 50% of teenagers say that becoming financially independent from their parents is one of their financial goals. Now, it makes me wonder, you know, what some of their other goals are and what the other 50% of these high school students are saying. But we all know that independence comes with a huge list of responsibilities. You know, I think about back when I was making that transition. And, you know, Dr. Lynn, think about when you were making that transition. There's so much that I wanted to do. And honestly, a lot that I did not even know. I didn't know. And so soon there's going to be a lot of graduates and they're going to be juggling the cost of food, books, clothing, school supplies, social lives, so much, right? And as they are making this transition into adulthood, it's our job as parents to make sure that they feel prepared for whatever is going to come their way and that they have had a realistic conversation about what that could look like.
Oh my goodness, Cassandra, you just said it all. And I have to really be honest. I mean, my college graduates started out as teenagers, you know, discussing their finances and us having conversations. So everything that you're saying here is 100% accurate. And for those parents who can even start before graduation, but if you didn't, it's okay. Start when you can. I think this is absolutely so, so, so important. So Cassandra, what are some ways that parents can set their teenagers up for success before they head off to college?
Ooh, great question. So all of my parents listening, to everyone listening, we have got to have this conversation at the dinner table tonight. So yes, I'm giving all of you all homework. Okay. Graduating high school is already a huge accomplishment, right? And it's the first step to transitioning into adulthood. And it's also really the perfect time to start having this conversation with your teen and discuss money management before they start making some of these financial decisions on their own. Okay. But it has to start with the conversation, the dinner table, on the couch, after school, whatever it is. Okay. Now, here are a couple of things that I would really suggest that you start with and to make sure that you discuss with your teen. And first, I want to suggest that you open a student checking or savings account. Okay. Consider setting up an account and getting a debit card, especially one that's geared towards students, and talk to them about how to use it responsibly. Money management is critical. And some of these things are topics that they are not discussing at school. So it's your job to make sure that you are being realistic with them and having this conversation with them. Discuss with them that the money choices they make today will impact their future. Your financial future essentially starts today. Okay. I also want you to discuss with them how to build and stick to a budget. And look, let's be real. Life after high school comes with a whole new list of financial responsibilities, new adventures, new things they've never faced before or had a conversation about. So helping your teenager plan and set goals for the future by creating some sort of budget and do it with them, okay? Make sure you discuss what expenses that you are going to cover as they transition into the next step of their life, things that you won't cover, things that he or she are going to be responsible for. That's an important conversation. And also have regular, honest conversations about things that stand within that budget with some of those expenses. Okay. Here are a few questions I would honestly encourage you to make sure that you discuss when it comes to budgeting and savings in general. Okay. First, I want you to make sure you discuss with your teen on how to create some sort of savings goal. Get them into the habit of thinking about savings and how they can accomplish some of those short-term or immediate goals that they may have for themselves. The next thing I want you to discuss is different ways that they can possibly earn income, okay? And the third thing I want you to make sure you tackle during that conversation is how could your teen spend less money in order to help them achieve some of their savings goals. And having that conversation around budgeting, goal setting, goal planning, savings is really going to tie into them being financially healthy.
I think what you're saying is so important, Cassandra. And what, you know, seeing it makes all the difference in the world. Because I think all kids, no matter what age, they think parents have a bottomless pit of money. So so identifying those things is actually extremely helpful. So let's say I've covered the basics of banking and budgeting with my teenager. What else can I do to prepare them for financial independence, Cassandra?
Yes. And yes, Dr. Lynn, they always think there is some bottomless pit of where they can keep coming back and asking for money. But yes, I agree with you on that point. So to answer your question, two important things that you also can do after having a conversation around banking and budgeting. Number one, encourage them. And this is for you and for your team to continue to set money aside for college expenses in advance. Okay. If your teen is going to college or a trade school, it's important that they need to consider other expenses that are going to pop up besides tuition, besides room and board. We have dining out, housing expenses, electronics, books, sorority life, fraternity life, Greek life, all those things, transportation, socializing, all those things will continue to sneak up on your teen and on you. So there is never a time that we want to stop saving for college expenses in advance. Choosing to save for college in advance with your teen may mean getting a summer job, possibly cutting back on some of those expenses. I think about all the streaming subscriptions that we have. Do they need all five streaming services? But doing some of those things can help eliminate some of that financial stress down the road. Okay. The second thing is help your teen build credit. Healthy credit is so important. And so if you're having a conversation on how credit works when it comes to their overall financial journey, there are a couple of things that you can do in order to help them, in order to help build credit. One thing is very popular. You can start by adding them as an authorized user on one of your credit cards. That's an important thing that you may have heard nowadays. Alternatively, you can also help them with a secured credit card application, possibly if they're 18, or a student credit card application. Okay. Either way, just be sure to talk to them about the importance of having a healthy credit score and managing credit wisely, because that is, of course, going to follow them throughout their financial future, especially as they transition into adulthood.
You know, all of these things that you have said are absolutely right on point. I did both. I made sure my daughters had access. They were authorized users on one of my credit cards that had a zero balance, that had a very long history. And once they got to a certain age and they were eligible to apply for credit, I had them apply for a secured credit card that then turned into unsecured, and they were able to establish great credit. So you are definitely hitting the nail on the head. And I would also just say to all the parents out there, if you're thinking, oh, well, we're talking about high school students, I kind of look at college as high school part two. So again, if you did not do it for your high school teens, and especially if your college students are still dependent on you 100% financially, just like mine were for me, then these are going to be tips. And don't ever think that your children are too old for this conversation, because even if they're in their, you know, mid to late 20s and you're still involved in their finances or somehow supporting them, this information is never, ever, ever too late. So I'm so grateful for you, Cassandra, for what you're sharing. Do you have any final words of wisdom for parents and 2023 grads as they head into this exciting new chapter, Cassandra?
Yes, I sure do. And first, Dr. Lynn, I appreciate you for being vulnerable and sharing that on how college is like high school part two, right? Yeah. So we're never going to let our kids go, our teens go, our young adults go when it comes to being financially healthy. We want to make sure that we support them along their journey. But look, I understand that discussing money, credit, savings can be an uncomfortable conversation, right? But when it comes to preparing our teens, our young adults for these type of financial decisions, we have to get comfortable having these real conversations with them in order to protect them, but also to steer them down the right path so that way they feel financially healthy for the rest of their lives, right? Even if it doesn't seem like your teen is listening, you know, talk to them often about healthy financial practices that they can do in order to set them up for success down the road. This is a conversation essentially that will not just happen once, you know, it'll happen often.
Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you.
I also want to emphasize that discussing finances is something that, again, you'll want to do often. Okay. You'll want to be able to support them. You also want to be able to give them the best advice and resources and tips. And there are so many out there. Okay. And so when you're having these honest conversations with your teen, with your young adults, as they kind of navigate and transition, you might also learn a couple of things as well. I think about a time myself, these are conversations that I didn't have when I was their age. You know, I didn't learn about some of these things. So you want to make it a priority to ensure that you have these talks with them, because they might possibly avoid, you know, going down the wrong path or making some of the same mistakes that many of us have made before. One final thing also, we have a lot of tips and tools for parents, for high school students, for college students, with lots of different articles that discuss budgeting, savings, credit habits, how to budget, lots of different things. And you can check out all of those resources on chase.com/college. Another resource that you may have is we have community managers like myself across different states, different cities, and we are hosting conversations and seminars about these same topics for young adults, for adults, around budgeting, savings, and their overall financial journey. So you can also reach out to your local community manager.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. We have banking for the whole family. I absolutely positively love this. Again, let's, you know, everyone, and I want to just say this to parents, because sometimes as parents, if we have not been successful in an area, we don't think that we have the power to communicate. I've heard that all too often. But the truth is, if you've not been successful in an area, if you've not gotten to the level of financial freedom that you think you should be at this particular time, that's even all the more reason to say to your teen, your college student, whatever it is, and to say to them, hey, I made mistakes. I don't want you to make the same mistakes. You absolutely have the power to do that. And I'm encouraging you to take heed to everything Cassandra said, and also to reach out to Chase and reach out to Cassandra and the community managers here in the area. Cassandra, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You always bring the knowledge, and I'm so happy to have you here, and I cannot wait to have you back.
Thank you, Dr. Lynn. It is a pleasure always talking to you and having these real conversations.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Cassandra. I'll talk to you next time.
I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You may have seen me on Good Morning America giving financial advice. When you get my freedom package, you get the 21 days to financial freedom and how to start a home-based business. See you in class.
So yes, we're doing a new thing, and hopefully you heard something that will help you be successful in your new thing so you can get to the true thing that is designed for you. And that is a life filled with opportunity, a life filled with possibility, a life filled with freedom, financial freedom, mental freedom, emotional freedom, career freedom, relationship freedom. You know, it's going to take a lot of undoing to undo the things we have done. If you have been living for 20 years, well, there are 365 days in 1 year. So in 10 years, that's 3,650 days. In 20 years, that's over 7,000 days. And in 40 years, that's over 14,000 days. So I want you to take everything that you heard here today, and I want you to not allow yourself to get overwhelmed, because it's going to take undoing all 14,000 days of your past DNA. But how do you do it? And let me be specific, your past financial DNA. So if you find yourself in a certain situation, if you find yourself without enough money, if you find yourself in a financial despair, if you find yourself feeling anxious, then everything that you've done up to this point has created that. And guess what? We're working here together right now to undo it. But I want you to remember, you've got to be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. Just take one tip. You know, get rid of, if you can't end all of the meals in your life because you're so attached to the people, just start with the lunches. Start with taking your lunch to work if you are back out, going back out into the workforce. Start with the dinners. Are you finding yourself every single weekend going out to dinner? I'm going to tell you right now, I have significantly slowed down the number of dinner meetings I'm taking, okay? Because if I take even a business colleague out to a dinner meeting on a Thursday night, and then a dinner lunch on a Saturday, and then another dinner meeting on Sunday or whatever it is, then I could look up and I could see myself having spent $500 in one weekend on meals. That's $2,000 a month. That's $24,000 a year. In 4 years, that's almost $100,000. Now, the pandemic has been going on for more than 2 years. So imagine adding 2 years to that and sticking to the same habit of eating meals that you're not getting the money back as a tax deduction for business purposes, okay? It's just money gone down the drain. All it takes is undoing one thing at a time. That cell phone, the expensive, you know, hair and nail appointments. Maybe you have to get it done, but maybe not as frequently. All right. So the power is in our hands. And for those of you who own a home, speak up. Call your banker.
and find out what options are available to you. And before you make a decision, before you make a major financial move, make sure you've gotten a complete financial assessment. Look at everything, because there are no secluded areas of your financial life. Everything touches everything else. One thing impacts the other thing. I used to think if I just spent money without any discipline, that that's all it would impact. Well, I did not just end up broke without any money. It also affected my credit. It also affected my communication with my significant other, with my husband, with my children, with other people. Because there were times when if I didn't have enough money, I was stressed out about it. And so now I'm irritated by everybody and I'm irritating them. So one thing impacts the other thing. It is your season to win.
You have been listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON, 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. I want you to follow me on social media at Lynn Richardson. Follow this show at Lynn Millionaire. Go and get help at asklynn.org, because I want to help you take it to the next level. Guess what? I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.